Laughter, they say, is the best medicine. But what if the comedy material was based on your own family tragedy?
We're at the funeral home, my brother Alan, my sister Karen, and I, filling out the death certificate. The funeral director, who knew my parents for a long time, asks, and what was your dad's last job? Oh, well, he was the office manager of the county mental health center.
That's San Francisco comedian Marilyn Pittman talking about her father's suicide. Pittman is one of San Francisco's first openly gay comics, rising to fame during the AIDS crisis and known for bringing hilarity through her blunt, tell-it-like-it-is comedy. But in 1997, tragedy struck when her father murdered her mother and then committed suicide. After that, Pittman went through her mother's journals and her father's love letters, seeking answers as to why it happened. She asked questions like, did they really love each other? And could we see this coming? Pittman has turned tragedy into performance in the form of a one-woman show at San Francisco's Marsh Theater. I sat down with Pittman to talk about It's All the Rage.
It's the story of my parents' murder-suicide in 1997, and it's also the story of my survival from that, and how I've survived and how I've coped through the eyes of a comic. I mean, being a comic and having this happen, the last thing I really want to do is bum people out when they come to a show of mine. I'm usually, you know, pretty good at making them fall off their chair and choke and cough and spit and get kind of endorphin releases from laughing. And that's been my history, is my desire all my life, is to do that. And so this was a very difficult show for me to approach.
Right. So this is heavy material.
It's heavy,
and
but
very personal for you.
But it's really hilarious. That's the other thing, is that I start the show talking about road rage. Then I tell about this pedestrian who beat me up when I had a road rage moment with her.
In 2000, just 3 years after it happened, I honked at a pedestrian in a crosswalk at California and Polk. It was my green light. And she threw her latte all over my windshield, blinding me. I managed to pull the car over, and I got out of the car, and I came storming at her, and she got so freaked out, she started beating me up. And then she dropped her keys. I'm like, oh my God, I got the keys. I got back in my car. Oh, I locked the door. Oh, I've got her keys. I'm going to give them back. I mean, you know, I was raised right, despite what happened.
And then, you know, there are moments of hilarity throughout. The girlfriend I was with at the time, who was channeling Mary and Jesus, when I was needing her at the most important moment of my life, and she was off falling in love with her ex-therapist. So there's lots of funny stories to tell about this, the 13 years of coping with it, and including funny stories about my family. I mean, I think one of the hardest parts of this has been that my family was really funny. It was like all these big personalities. My parents were educated. They were upstanding members of the community in Durango, Colorado. And I grew up in this sort of, you know, in the 50s as a kid and 60s and came of age in the 70s. And, you know, my family was always really funny and fun. And, you know, we loved hanging out together and playing cards and going fishing and all these kinds of things. And so this experience of their deaths has just sort of changed my sense of what my family was. Mm. Why did this happen? How does this happen? What was going on? Of course, my mother had filed for divorce 3 weeks before her death, and she'd moved out. Mm. And my father was addicted to painkillers and quite delusional and psychotic. And there'd been a history of sort of passive-aggressive victimhood for my mother and this sort of aggressive rage kind of personality of my father. So it combusted.
So you took a tragedy like that and you turned it into a show and, you know, you kind of put some humor into it. You're a comedian. What role did humor play in you dealing with this?
Fortunately, I had done a lot of therapy, and part of the show talks about that therapy and understanding various therapeutic language, you know, words that help, techniques that have helped me cope with coming from this very dysfunctional family, because it wasn't like my family was, you know, perfect. They were dysfunctional. And so I came from this, and I did a lot of work on it. And I've always found in my comedy act, when it first, back in the early 90s, I put a lot of humor about the New Age movement and therapy and meditation. I had all this kind of making fun of all this, mm-hmm. because it was sort of what I was going through. And so I knew that there would be stories to tell about that in the show. And I mean, I'm trying to laugh at myself and how crazy I've been sometimes. And so that's a lot of the humor in the show is how I get, you know, I drive down I-5 on the anniversary of their deaths, and I think I'm just looking for a warm day in a pool. But really, I'm just kind of nuts and I'm fleeing everything.
And I drive about 100 miles down I-5 through the farmland. And I get tired finally, and I go and I check myself into a Holiday Inn Express. I take a swim, and then I lay by the pool in the sun with my iPod on, crying. I'm like, I can't stay here. So I call my wife. I'm coming back. She's been waiting, hoping to see me again. On the Altamont Pass, I call her and have her talk me through it, because I'm so fatigued. She's the only one with the guts to see me through this, no matter how crazy I've gotten. Because she says, you're worth it. And I am. Oh, that sounds like a L'Oreal commercial.
Marilyn, what are your thoughts on what we just heard?
The humor is just there because I think that's life. Life, if the worst happens, you know, it's gallows humor. You need a way to stay sane, and humor is that way to stay sane. It's nerve-wracking because I think, you know, I predict that there will be a portion of the public that hears this and will be like, oh, another solo show about their dysfunctional family and their tragedy. Oh, please. And I think that because I know that that's probably going to be an attitude because I've had that attitude. I danced around this for 13 years. Partly because I was ambivalent about solo performance and all of its sort of, let me get on stage and bleed about my problems. And so I've been very ambivalent. There's still some degree of ambivalence about it for me because, but at the same time, I see that there is an audience that's looking for how other people are living through crisis and opportunity that comes from crisis.